This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, I'd like to thank you for inviting me here today. And I've entitled what I want to say, Nothing About Us Without Us. I want to begin by saying that I believe we do have a window of opportunity with the transforming social care agenda. And the time is now to work within it. We have legislation and policies that have been developed over the last decade that has given us this window. We must use the research evidence available together with the legislation and policies and turn them into action. We must stop reinventing wheels and commission only the research that will fill gaps that we know to exist, and some we don't. We as older people must learn from the disability and other movements and speak with a more coherent and united voice. 30 years ago, disabled people came together and debated the issues that affected their lives. We made time to think things through, working within our own organisations and with government, formulated legislation and policies together with our non-disabled allies. This legislation, such as the 1996 Community Care Direct Payments Act, began to make a difference to our lives, and the direct payments legislation certainly transformed mine. While not all issues are the same for older people, many are, and we need to work together and bring forward a set of values and principles on which we can all agree. Disabled people can have differences of opinion, but we do work to core values, and I have learned and benefited from this historical perspective. As older people, we need a space in which to have meaningful debates against a backcloth of age discrimination, which is very much alive and well, as Stephen says. Time permits me to present just three topics. They relate to our identity, our inclusion, and our involvement. Firstly, our identity. During the first 25 years of my life, I perceived myself to be a bed number and a diagnosis. It's been a huge struggle to reach a place where, as a disabled older woman, I have much to celebrate and contribute. Many of us make a significant contribution to society as older people, supporting family life, with offspring staying on at home, taking a regular grandparenting role, or great-grandparenting role, and providing support services to other older people. Some of us continue in paid employment and volunteer our time and skills, actively working with voluntary sector organisations. As older people, media coverage often portrays us as pathetic, vulnerable beings, rather than positive individuals working hard at every level to ensure our voice is heard. And yet, it is still not loud enough or cohesive. We need to change this. We need to raise our profile, always remembering how much more difficult this can be if we fall into one or more minority groups. Additional innovative and creative ways are needed to pass our knowledge and skills to young people and support them to find paid and satisfying voluntary work. For older people who no longer find themselves part of mainstream society, often unable to communicate adequately enough to be understood, we need to strengthen our skills that will enable us to communicate with them effectively. Older people often have their own solutions, which, when suggested to professional people, can often become non-doable. At a recent conference, I asked a panel how they engage with older people with high support needs, including those with communication difficulties, and they found this difficult to answer. Our inclusion. Individually and collectively, we must be included in every aspect of policy development, decision-making and implementation so that the barriers that exist in society are understood and action taken to remove them. I appreciate that we can actually grow weary when positive changes are slow to exist. I'm a great advocate for public transport. It must become more affordable and accessible to us. One of the many issues of concern is that of the gap between the platform and the train. And one of my great friends had such an accident from which he never fully recovered. There are many barriers within transport systems, too numerous to mention, but we need to agree on the main issues that affect us all, irrespective of impairment and culture. And images of ourselves can get severely dented if we are patronised or abused. On one occasion, after getting off a bus, the driver having put the ramp down for me, he then got off the bus, patted me on the shoulder and gave me a boiled sweet. Before I move away from transport, I want to mention the specialist transport systems that need to be increased. I do a lot of work within residential settings, and so many of them do not have transport of their own, and so older people often don't get out very often, or only to hospital appointments. And so priority needs to be given to older people who have no other means of getting out of their homes or out of residential settings. But they need more than just the transport. We need people who will actually help us to get ready, to go with us on the journey, to support us while we get to the other end of the journey and back again. And then there are all those other issues that need joined up thinking. Things like public toilets, number one, public toilets. Street lighting, less pavement furniture, overhanging trees and branches, and more seats in shops and large shopping malls. As local authority finances reduce, we need affordable housing, housing adaptations and equipment fit for purpose. The last thing the majority of us want is to be removed from our homes, from local communities and placed in residential settings. It is painful to discover our mobility decreasing and our homes becoming increasingly inaccessible. Older people who want to stay in their own home need to think much more carefully how they're going to manage around it. And in talking to younger people about issues related to ageing, it's been very interesting to hear their comments, such as, well, it's an interesting subject, but actually, you know, I don't want to think about it. Loss of independence and dying are issues that need a higher profile within the public domain. We need further debate around design and preventative measures and provision and relate this to research such as that has been undertaken by Joseph Rowntree, that little bit of help, as Stephen mentioned. We may be growing in number, but we are also growing healthier and better educated than in previous years, and we can use and share this knowledge and skills more effectively around what works for us. Personal budgets and direct payments can support us to stay independent and at home. If we do genuinely choose admission to a residential setting, we need to feel in control of that choice. We want to continue living life inside and outside whatever setting we're in, and with the ability to make a contribution if we so wish. Our inclusion will only happen if we are part of the planning, development and action in our neighbourhoods and communities. And some of us already make that contribution, but we do need to support more older people to make theirs. And this includes older people with high support needs, as I've mentioned. I mean, I do a lot of work around people with those high support needs and communication difficulties, and it takes a big effort to engage, and we need to think of all the things that make that easier. In order for us to do this kind of work, our organisations for and of disabled older people do need long-term funding. And because it's very difficult to engage if we don't know how long our funding is going to be for. And it will also only happen if our non-disabled allies join with us in these approaches. Our involvement, there are almost 10 million older people in the United Kingdom, with this figure expected to increase to 15 million by 2035. Legislation focuses on independent living and age equality, with a planned single equality bill that will require public bodies to promote equity. Cross-party government commitment to improving the life chances of disabled people, with a strategy that is working towards removing barriers by 2025, provides a positive opportunity for involvement and co-production. The Transforming Social Care Programme is a further commitment, and we must be central to issues debated within national and local government. We must ensure that professional people involve us in joined-up thinking and ways of working that focus on an enabling rather than a dependency model, and that crosses all public, private and voluntary sector bodies. Our lives are greater than our medical conditions, as evidenced in care plans, with further evidence that community-based health provision reduces the need for expensive emergency services. As we know, many of us are taken to accident and emergency departments when it is unnecessary. We must exert pressure on public bodies so that they do not reinvent the wheel. We have had our lives assessed and categorised as critical and substantial, moderate and low needs. And now we are to be squeezed into a resource allocation point system. But will points make prizes? I hardly think so. As personal assistance, housing adaptations and equipment budgets are cut, we are labelled vulnerable, safeguarded, discussed as cases, and often our lives viewed as a burden and worthless. I don't intend to sit on a shelf and gather dust. I want to continue to grow younger. As individually and collectively, I work with others to change attitudes and raise the age profile within the media, government and local communities. Everybody here today, along with colleagues and older people at local level, can share knowledge and assist health and local authorities to grow a marketplace conducive to our needs that include advocacy, information and brokerage. This will bring us into mainstream society, where we will have equality and a knowledge-based preventative agenda that will begin to reduce costs. Together, we will be viewed as proactive citizens whose lives further expand and permeate every aspect of community and national life. So a positive identity, our inclusion, involvement and expertise will increase opportunities to support each other, reach out to other community groups, and so enhance our own well-being and that of other generations. So nothing about us without us. And thank you for listening.